This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
What's going on, people? Welcome to the live match reaction show. Sorry about the delay, but that is it from Palace. Fulham 1, Palace 1. What a strike from Jeffrey Schlupp to get a point, a massive point that we'll be discussing. I'm joined by T here. As always, we want to hear from you. Let us know your thoughts in the comment section. As well as that, you can join us by clicking on the link, which will be posted in a few minutes' time. As always, let's try and hit 200 likes. Let's keep the momentum going. You know, Palace are unbeaten. Let's keep it going. Let's try at least 200. I know we've got it in us. But look, T, good to be here talking to you, bro. It's been a while, man. It has been a while since me and you have actually sat down and started talking about Palace. But a good result. I was very happy with that. I just didn't want us to lose the game after how it panned out.
Yeah, very, very solid. Very solid point. I mean, I think a little bit we were kind of spoiled by our past performances and what the team was able to do, I think, because there are times you're watching and you're like, oh, we should be doing so much better. We're so much better than this. And it's like, think about the circumstances, man. This is our third game in a week. We're away to Fulham. We didn't have Eze, Lerma, Gehi. You know, we were without some very crucial players to the squad and still came out, played solid enough. To get the draw. You know, we came out really, really well early. And then it seemed like after they had that little drinks break and that injury timeout for Leno, things shifted a little bit in their favor leading up to that first goal. But I think we fought through it. Kudos to our subs too for coming on and doing well. So respect the point, man. 7 in a week. I am ecstatic.
Like, it's easy to say, oh, we want games in a row, once we four games, but I mean, even us, Newcastle was massive because Newcastle had a nice little break before we faced them.
Yep.
And then I must admit, he's probably playing about, that's probably the hotels. It was a massive point. It was a massive point. It gives us something to look forward to in the next game. I think that's the bigger thing about it. We're still unbeaten, and that was without Eze. And there were some performances there, or some tired players that have been performing great, like sort of Mateta, Elise, that we should be discussing, and we'll be discussing in the show. But look, I don't want to make the guests wait, so let's start off with the first guest. If you do want to join, make sure to click on the pinned comment to join us live this evening or afternoon, depending on where you are, or the morning, depending on where you are in the world. To bring on Cody first, Cody. 1-0 draw against Fulham away from home, still unbeaten. What do you make of it?
That's a good game, man. What else more can you ask for when we played 3 games in 7 days? I mean, the guys, it's very understandable how tired they can be at this point. I'm just glad that they're actually getting a rest for the United game coming up next weekend. But I think it was good. There were some chances we could have had. I think the first chance we had that should have went in was probably Elise's breakaway goal he had there. Just if he could have just bent it in a little bit more, we'd have had that extra goal. But it wasn't bad considering the fitness of the players, considering what we've had been through the past week. But man, I will say Wharton and Richards, man, that Wharton, it's just like, it's amazing how much we got this kid for. I mean, he's so spectacular at midfield. Anything that comes by him, he stops. Any passes he needs to make, he makes. Like, it's just amazing what this kid can do. And it's crazy that he can even grow from where he's at now. Man, he's going to be a scary, scary player for us in the coming seasons. And Richards, man, I can't say enough about him. For him having to step in for Gahee being hurt and how well he can defend and can tell where these shots are coming from and just blocking them almost every single time. It's crazy how good he is at that. But all around, I think everybody did good. The one complaint I might have, I guess, about the game would be, man, the IU with his crossing, whether it's in the corner or coming downfield, has been off here lately. I know at the beginning of the season it was pretty good, but I guess that would be the one complaint. If it were anybody taking corners, I would think at this point, from what we've seen from IU's crossing ability, I would probably use Wharton or Elise in that instance. But other than that, man, yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. We got the result, we got the points, so I'm all good today.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned IU's crossing. For me, I think you got an assist, really, which was a very good assist. But I do think someone, I think it was David, you mentioned it in chat, that it's tight legs. Look at the injury list that we've had. Look at the season we've had. I think it just goes down to the players just being fatigued.
Yeah. Could be. Yeah, you're right. With the amount of players we've had hurt and guys that have having to repetitively play 90 minutes, I mean, you could tell, like, guys like Hughes and Mateta, especially Mateta, man, he looked like he had no legs left after the second half, which is fair enough because he's been running his tail off for us the past week, so. But, yeah, hopefully we can get everybody back in fitness and shape and we can just go bash Man United next week.
Yeah, I think the best thing is that now we have that break. We have that break now where guys can, you know, rest up, recover. Hopefully, Eze can come through that knee injury he's dealing with and be back and be ready, you know. So, yeah, that time is going to be important, especially now, you know, we don't have a midweek game, which is – really important right now, so those guys have much more time to recover. One thing I do want to say, I think people talk so much about how much when we see Eze out there without Elise, how much we say, "Oh, he needs Elise."
Yes,
I honestly I feel like you could say the same thing about Elise needing a guy like Eze with today's performance. Yep. I mean, today might have been one of the worst performances Elise has had all season. And, you know, it like I said, it could be from the fatigue that Dee's mentioning because he has played a decent amount, even though we've been able to give him a rest in certain spots. But it did seem like, you know, he definitely, I think it's very much a mutual relationship between those two guys because they don't have to be the creative fulcrums when they're on the pitch together. You know what I mean? It's a reason why they play so well when they're both out there because it's less pressure on each one of them to play well.
I agree.
Yeah. Do you think we win that game with Eze then? There was a comment there saying that we win that game with Eze. I'm not too sure. I just feel like the whole team was just tired. You look at Mateta's performance, you look at Elise in front of goal. On another day, those two chances at the start of the game, we're scoring them. Maybe we do win it. Having Eze on the pitch will be massive, but I just think the squad overall, due to the amount of games that we played, we're just tired. I think it just falls down to that rather than one individual player. That's what I think anyways. And I think this break, because we're not facing United till Monday night, so there's a nice little break. This break will help us because, as you can see, Glasner wants that high intensity. The players have not let him down. The players have been giving him that intensity, but the other side of that is that these players are human. They will be tired naturally. They've had a long season. So, you know, when we are facing the likes of Fulham, I can't remember the last time Fulham faced, but for example, the Newcastle game, Newcastle had a break before us. Newcastle had a long break before us, and despite that, we still gave more effort than Newcastle played. And the last time Fulham played, I'm just going to try and find it as well, was against Liverpool on the 21st of April. So they've had a week's break as well. They've had a week's break as well. So we're facing these teams that are way more fresh than us and we are still giving 100%. And despite that, you know, we still managed to leave there with a point. And I think that's the biggest thing. If you aren't, if you have a performance like that, if you have players that are tired, you just want to leave there with something. I think that is the indication of a good, solid team. Like, you still can get something out of the game. And we've done that despite being 1-0 down And on the other side of things, we normally concede late goals, but we scored a late one in this time. And that shows a mentality, Cody, doesn't it? Of the squad under Glasner.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Glasner's got these guys working hard every single game. He's got the winning mentality with. I mean, even if they're tired, you know, I believe if, man, I hate to be like this, but if it was Roy in this position right now, I think we'd be talking about a completely different couple run of games that we've had. Glasner's got this intent in these players where they're wanting to win every game. They're wanting to do their best every game. They're wanting to press. They're wanting to be physical. They're wanting to, you know, make better decisions with their passing, their shooting. I mean, he's completely flipped this team around, and man, it's like Glasner's been a complete miracle for us coming in at the point in the season that he came in at and turning us around the way he did. But yeah, it comes down to just everybody's tired. And I also think honestly, I think even if Eze wasn't hurt and didn't have a problem, I think you said it was his hamstring. I think he deserves the rest anyways, considering what he's put up for us the past couple games. So, I mean, it was the right decision regardless of how Glasner wanted to set up the formation, who he wanted to start, who he wanted to bring in. I mean, it's about all he could do with what we had, considering the fitness levels we were at.
So, Cody, let me ask you this question, and this is a discussion that we've kind of been having in our group chat post-match. What did you make of the performance from Ahamada coming off of the bench today?
Oh, man. Well, the only thing I can honestly remember Ahamada is he'd gotten the ball, dribbled it down the pitch, and got it stolen right around the box area and had to turn around and defend. That seems to be a common theme with Ahamada. Like, he can get the ball downfield to a certain point, and then he gets the ball stolen off. So, but then again, it's like he has that potential to run the ball if he can just make better decisions once he gets down the pitch with it. I think it's just a lot of – he just needs more time to learn. I think it was talked about last one that maybe needs to go out alone. I agree. I think he needs to go somewhere to a championship to get a little bit more experience. I think he can develop into a better player and be the player that, you know, we think he can be. But as of right now, he just – I don't think he's good enough for the Premier League, to be honest.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I think he's still young. And he hasn't had consistent minutes, which I think plays an important part as well. I think he's another player that Glasner working with him in summer and pre-season and starting, you know, a new fresh pace. I think he will come out for the better. And there's a reason why Glasner is putting on. He clearly sees something in the player. Maybe he's not reaching the levels that Glasner might want, but there is something in him. That's why Glasner is playing him. And I do have faith that he will actually bounce back next season, because not only him, like France is another player that's had a rocky season due to different reasons and not playing as much and injuries and adapting to a new country. And I think Hamada falls into that category of just be a bit more patient with him. We don't need him as much right now because we are safe. Just let him go out there, let him have a few minutes and, you know, have that confidence. I think confidence is a massive thing. I mean, we can talk about ability. I think Hamada has got ability, but it's like Mateta. Mateta, all along, we were saying, where's his first touch? Where's his physical presence? Where's all of that? He's had it in him. He's been showing it under Glasner. He didn't have the confidence, which Glasner got the best out of him. And I think Hamada falls into that similar category of, you know, let him play, let him feel the game a bit more than just, you know, playing odd game in five games or not playing at all. And I think that's the case. So we're going to see what happens with it for and upcoming season. Just quick, before you go, yeah, go on, Cody.
I was gonna say, I did see Rakitić on the bench today. Is he like fully fit to play, or?
Yeah, he's been fully fit too.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was because Glasner talked about it in the interview that it's just tough for him right now with making the bench because he's got guys in front of him that are performing well and Schlupp and IU. So
yeah.
OG made it very clear. It sounds like, you know, he's ready to go. He's able to play. He's just got to earn his spot at this point. He's got guys, especially seasoned guys right now, that are ahead of him in the pecking order. I actually appreciate the honesty, though. Like, yeah. I feel like under somebody like Roy, I feel like Roy might have been a little bit more coded with his words. But OG was very specific. I'm like, hey, you know, he's got to earn it at this point. And that's not a discredit to Jez. It's more just like, hey, these guys are playing really well right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good. That's what we want. That is what we want. And that is the biggest thing about Glasner since he's come in, is that we are a team. And, you know, as much individual quality within some of these wins, such as the likes of Eze and Elise performing against West Ham, and then Mateta, of course, performing as well. The biggest thing is we have played as a team. As much as Mateta scored goals, he's been doing his duties as a team defensively, just as Eze and Elise. And I think that's the biggest thing. And, you know, if Jez wants to come into the side, you're Jez Ragsacki. You are a young star that has potential. You're Jez Ragsacki, but you have to prove yourself. You have to prove yourself why you should be playing ahead of, you know, the likes of Schlupp, even come to the bench. Because look, today, Schlupp, fantastic goal. So he has to keep working hard. He has to be humble and earn his spot. Earn his spot. And maybe in three games left of the season, maybe he might get an opportunity. But I think it's unlikely. We'll see what happens. Well, thank you for coming on. No worries. Okay.
Here we go.
Okay. Should we bring on Tim?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Bring him on.
All right, let's bring on Tim.
Tim, what's going on?
What's up, man?
Good program's unbeaten, man. That was massive, Tim. For me, I was so happy that we got the point. So happy.
Same. Who knew Jeffrey Schlupp only scores bangers? Hashtag only scores bangers. That's
only
it.
Scores bangers. It's only scores bangers.
I mean, he's been a terrific sub, and I've liked Schlupp as a sub, and he was terrific today. Boy, was it beautiful to watch. And I agree with all the comments about Wharton. What a terrific pass right into feet. Schlupp takes a terrific, just a quick turn, simple touch, and bangs that thing. Whew. I thought it was going through the back of the net. Great point. I just a few comments. I love that we're four unbeaten, but I think I love more than that, that we haven't, Glasner's got an idea of how to play. He's got an idea of football that he wants to play. And even though we were exhausted, and it looked like we were exhausted, we still played that idea of football, didn't give up on that. And that those first 35 minutes, we were very well on top and should have been. I mean, I'm not used to seeing Michael Olise miss an open netter like that, but he did. I mean, we should have been up early, but terrific performance, especially early on, and credit to Fulham for throwing it right back at us. Although that's a little snaky to, you know, Leno. I think he did the goalkeeper version of diving. That was a dive.
Yeah.
That was a dive.
That was calculated. He knew.
That was calculated.
It's a credit to us, man. The credit to us, though, had to make the goalkeeper go down and just go down and, you know, have a timeout against Palace. That shows a long way that we've come, that they couldn't do anything against.
No, they couldn't cope with us.
Absolutely. That moment reminded me of in American football when an offense is in no huddle and they're just going, and a defender just goes down to try to slow them down.
It was brilliant to see that. But Fulham did get themselves back into the game. The Muniz goal was, I mean, credit to them. That's a great goal. But I mean, we were a little bit off the pace. I have no issue with that, because that's in seasons past. Forget about who's managing. In seasons past, I can't remember a Palace team that would have three games in a week and come out with 7 points. That is a credit to fitness, endeavor, good ideas, players who are committed. That's a hell of a way to come out of the week. I will say that did feel like, I'm going to just assume that Tyreek Mitchell, because he did not have a good game. He looked very tentative, and I'm just going to chalk that up to he was exhausted. He couldn't cope. because I don't, I mean, that was one of his worst games. He gets wide open in the space. And I think if he's fit and he's going for it, he's going right at the goalkeeper, which is what he should do. Instead, he tries to play a pass back and he gets it completely wrong. And he just looked tentative and completely gassed. But other than that, there's a lot to like. There's a lot to like about the way this team wants to play. And this is one of the better points I have seen from a Palace side.
It's a professional point, and that's why I think it's massive. It's massive. Because as you mentioned, Mitchell, but we could talk about Mateta, for example, or even Elise. But like they've been fantastic for us. But today they weren't. They weren't. Now we can blame on fatigue. But did you spot anything else, Tim, after? Because it all started, well, not our downfall, but we kind of lost a rhythm after Leno went down and Fulham made a change. What do you think it was? Was it that Fulham got a bit more into the game, or do you think we just dropped our levels a bit?
No, they were looking to, I mean, they were looking for those runs from Muniz. I mean, we were not letting him get on the ball, and he was really starting to make runs after that. And to his credit, I mean, they were putting the ball over the top a few times there. They were making us run. And you know what? That is exactly what they should have done. They wore us out a little bit. At the end of that first half, D, the possession completely changed. It was something like, I don't have the numbers exactly, but by the end of that first half, Fulham had 54% possession and we had 46. Now, there's no way it was like that in the first 35 minutes. What ended up happening is they got the ball, they were running us around, started to get a little gassed, and it showed. And that did make a big difference. But, I mean, that's what good coaches do. And Marco Silva's a good coach. So I that's why I'm so pleased by this point. Because at the end of the game also, D, they mentioned this on commentary. It was hard for me to see the shape on television because you just really can't see that. But what they said was, as they brought off when they brought on Ahamada, who'd they bring off? They brought off
It would have been Hughes, I believe.
No, they brought off Mitchell. Brought off Mitchell.
Oh, they brought off Mitchell.
And Kleine slotted into left back, and so we moved to 4-3-3. And then that pushed midfield up, that pushed the attackers up. And we were going for it. And so after that, Glasner made a tactical switch to try and get that goal. And we got it. I like the way that we are playing. It'll be really interesting come the summer. This is a game I don't believe. And I'll get out of the way for the next guest here. I don't believe this is a game that we win with Ebbs in there. I'm not buying that straw man. What I am buying, though, is if the squad depth of this Palace side is better. Like, if we have a deeper side and we can bring quality subs on, proven subs, I think Glasner's getting amazing productivity out of who he's got. But if our bench is deeper, if we have a deeper squad, that is a game I think we might win. But I think it comes down to, like, he's getting what he, I think he's getting just about everything he can get out of this side. But if we have a deeper, if we have better depth, then maybe we get that result over the line. But there's a serious drop in quality right now. But having said that, you know, Jeffrey Schlupp comes on and breaks the net. So what do I know?
I've got to change your perspective on Schlupp then. There's a lot of players out of contract. Is it too early to say, oh, you know what, give him another contract because of that goal? There's some people say that, well, there was one comment anyways that I saw saying that I still don't want Schlupp's contract renewed.
No, because he's going to be on a fairly big salary. I want to thank Jeffrey Schlupp for being the servant that he has been, but it doesn't mean I want him on a new contract. I think we should be very selective because to me, D, if you were going to give Schlupp a new contract, then to me, I feel like you can't give a new contract to IU. And am I going to, if I'm choosing between those two, I think I am choosing IU because of his consistent work rate, his ability to draw a foul. He's just been a consistent performer. And so, no, I would not renew Jeffrey Schlupp. I'd renew Hughes, and I'd renew IU, and then everybody else is on the table. I want to see who Glasner wants, and then let's find out how we get those players, because I think he's going to be – I think he has an eye for players. What's his name? Daichi Kamada, the guy that used to play with him? Is somebody we're looking at?
Like, league as well.
You cannot you can't just renew everybody. And I mean, it's a great goal, but that's somebody who comes in and maybe provides some depth, and he's only 27. I mean, like, if we're going to push on, sadly enough, somebody said it in the chat here, we're going to need to be ruthless. I mean, it is football.
I've thought it for a long time. Like, we just need to be ruthless. Some of these plays, it feels like we've always gone for the cheap option. And it's been frustrating because, of course, they'll have moments like this where they score a great goal. But in the bigger picture of things, like, our bench, when you bring on some of these players, and when you look at the bench, it's just weak. It's just weak. There isn't maybe...
Yeah, it's not enough.
I mean, today, who's a creative player that you can bring off the bench? Hamada? I mean, maybe Raksaki? Like, the names ain't too
Raksaki,
familiar.
Raksaki, maybe.
We've been familiar. Yeah, we've been familiar. But, like, we need to start moving on from some of these players. One, age isn't on the side. And two, let's just have a new, fresh page. Like, let's have a fresh page. Like, they've been here long enough, some of these players. And, yeah, like, Tompkins 100% is going anyways. Like, without doubt. But yeah, in the past, in the years before, like, I just thought, how on earth do we keep renewing this player's contract, for example? And now I just don't want that to happen. I want us to just, you know, find a replacement for that player rather than going for the easier option.
I
think you have the word that you used, Tim, that was just right on par, is consistency.
Yes.
Do you appreciate Jeffrey Schlupp when he comes in and gets a banger goal like this? Absolutely. Are you frustrated as hell when he has an appearance where he does nothing for you going forward or defending?
Yes.
Almost an absolute ghost? Yes, also. You know what I'm saying? So I think the thing that we want more than anything, especially from our bench, we want consistency. We want guys that we know are going to come on and contribute to the match in a...
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Positive manner. Like,
right.
And I think similar to what Dee was saying, like, a lot of times, like, yeah, you just go with the cheap option and it's just okay. But I think there's a way to do the cheap option. There's an effective way to do cheap options. All the talk of some of the guys that are out there that we might have interest in bringing in the summer that are free. It's like you're talking about guys like Kelechi Iheanacho possibly coming in, Daichi Kamada possibly coming in. Those are free options. Those are cheap options.
And,
but
and
players, Wilfred and Didi, Ben Johnson, these are guys that could come in that could immediately be effective, that are within the
gives you squad depth right away.
Yeah, it gives you a media squad that they're within the right age range and they're cheap. So there's a right way to do cheap. And I think there are a lot of teams out there worldwide that do cheap really well. Like Juventus is amazing at doing cheap. They get guys.
We've been good at it. I mean, we've been good at it.
Cheap and bad. Lerma was cheap. Technically, Lerma was cheap.
That is how you do cheap the right way. That's how you do cheap the right way.
For example, Schlupp, I'll take Ayu out of consideration now because he has, you know, turned on for longer than a bit. But like, there's a lot of players in the squad that we've renewed for the sake of being cheap and easy.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
That's where I have a problem, because if we want to push up the table, how many of these players can we rely on that could come off the bench and could get us a result? Today, Jeffrey Schlupp done it. But in general, our bench needs to be improved. And that it's not a bench, it's a depth that needs to, it needs to be improved. And yeah, as you said, T, look, there are some players that we're rumored with that could come for free. That would be fantastic business. Just like Lerma. Lerma's been a fantastic piece of business. But it's about, you know, some of these players, we've seen them long enough to realize that they're not consistent enough. And majority of the time, they won't be able to help us coming off the bench. But look, someone made a comment, just going back to the game. If we had, you know, a week off, I think that would have been different for us. And I 100% agree. 100% agree. And now we've got longer than a week. And I was looking as well in the injury list. Fulham, well, apparently, according to Live Score anyways, Fulham had no injuries, whilst we had how many players out injured?
That's not true. They did have some players out.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 injuries. While Fulham had 0. And on top of that, they had extra rest. This is what I'm saying. Like, it's about being unbeaten, which we are in 4 games. And on top of that, trying to hopefully get one or two of these players back, as well as rest as well. Like, this is big now. This is big this week. Like, 9 days or 10 days to face United. It'll be good for us as well, because here we've been doing content. Like, every time a game finishes, it's about like the next game straight away, the match preview and all of that, because it's so compact. So we've got a bit of time now. We can relax. But yeah, look, T, great having you on. Hopefully we catch up with you after United game. Look, you need a break as well. We're all in the break, team.
Always going, man. Always going.
You're always here. All right, then. Take care, team.
All right. Take it easy, guys. Okay. See
you. That was Tim having to say. If you want to call into the show, you can do so by clicking on the pinned comment. I will also post a link as well so you can join in and have your say on the game. Right now, I mean, if you just call in, you'll be next in line because there's no one else there. I'm going to go through some of the comments. Let's see. That's where we get a lot from. People talk about trying to speed. Trying to speed is a bit too early, ain't it, T?
I would like to see him sign with us for the academy. I would say that. I mean,
when they say trying to speed, is it not signed already? Rashawn Martin?
No. They're not talking about...
Because you're trying to speed.
This is... No, they're talking about Mathurin.
Oh, they're not with trying to speed.
We have a trialist that's down there right now that's playing really well for us at striker. The kid Omolu, I think his name is from West Ham. They're talking about Mathurin. I think Mathurin, I would love to see him get an opportunity in preseason to be with the first team and then possibly look at getting him alone. Because I think he's if you watch him at that 21s level, I think he's ready for the next step. So I think he needs to get his opportunity to go out and play some first team football somewhere.
We spoke about loan moves for the players that you mentioned, but what about for the likes of Ahama though?
And you know, this
Alperin,
I mean this or, this, because he's playing this in the goes back.
What's your answer? Yeah, I'm just gonna plug in my charger. Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah, I mean this is a young guy who has played at a high level prior to coming to Palace. Like, I don't think it's in question whether he's good enough to really do it, to be here. I think it's just a matter of him, like we talked about earlier, getting more consistent minutes, getting a rhythm. So the only way that I think for him particularly that alone would be a good move is if we end up bringing in some midfield reinforcements that pushes him down the pecking order. You know what I mean? So if, say, you know, of course, Decore comes back.
What about if NDD comes back? Decore's going to
come back. You know what I'm saying? If Decore return, we keep Lerma. Of course, we have Wharton. If we bring in a Wilfred NDD and say we re-sign Will Hughes, that's 5 central midfielders right there. Now, of course, there are a couple of them with positional versatility that can move back into the center back roles, like we've seen with Lerma and Didi. But if you got 5 guys like that that are there for those 2 spots in the center, then I think we talk about possibly loaning out Hamada at that point. But I think it all depends on how the what the midfield picture looks like as the summer shapes up.
Yeah, I think that's a good shot. And France, I mentioned about needing more creative players going forward, and like France would have been massive today. But I guess that's a positive as well to look forward to next season, having France off the bench. Because I'd rather have France come off the bench, like if we're throughout the season, if we move emotions aside from the fantastic goal from Schlupp, I'd rather have France coming off the bench than Jeffrey Schlupp.
Yes, he's the one that replaces Schlupp in the rotation. If we decide not to bring Schlupp back, that's okay, because we have a ready-made replacement for him in France. You know, now things change for us if, you know, Eze leaves in the summer. I don't think we keep Schlupp. I still don't think there's a reason for keeping Schlupp, but I think there's a reason for bringing somebody else in to compete for that spot with France. But I'm okay with us letting Schlupp go, because we have a younger, more capable, higher talented player that can slide into that spot. So,
Yeah, I'm thinking that as well. And look, we'll probably discuss this way more preseason, but I'm looking at left wing back now that he's on the Glasner system. We need depth there, even if it's not left wing back.
That would have helped us. Having rotation there would have helped us a lot today.
Yeah, Ty has been fantastic for us, but we're so unrealistic of our expectations from him. We really are. First of all, there's no competition there. We expect him to be like focused throughout the season to play at the top level with no competition. And second of all, if we wanted to change it about, we haven't got outright left back there. So I think this is a perfect opportunity for Teo to prove himself in the summer. Right wing back, yeah. Also, do you think maybe Imre could make a jump as well? Maybe, I don't know if it's too
early. I hope so. I like Danny Imre. Hope so. I like Danny Imre a lot. I mean, yeah, he definitely deserves a shot.
Backup option, yeah.
Yeah, I think he definitely deserves a shot in preseason, similar to what we just mentioned with Teo. I think you bring both of them in and let them compete. And then you go from there as far as making moves. Because if they come in, they compete, and you don't see it with them, then I think you give them both those loans. You know, you give Teo another loan to a high caliber side, a lower side that might be, you know, high caliber for him. And you get Imre that first league loan, that first team loan that he's probably needing for his development at this point.
Yeah. Let's quickly talk about Adam Walton, because going back to the game, once again, T, like, unbelievable player. And he was actually creating the chances that, you know, Mateta and Elise, I think Mateta, I don't know if he created for Mateta, let me not lie, but he was in the midfield finding and forward passes, and he was fantastic. Yes. Again, what's his ceiling? Like, now that he's been here for a few months, what is his ceiling? Because I just don't, like, some people are saying he should be called up to the England squad for Euros. Is that too early? Like, what?
Here's my thing. England doesn't have a central midfielder that can do what he does. And that's if I'm being quite honest. You know what I mean? And I think that says a lot. I mean, Kobe Mino made his appearance. And I feel like Walton is just as deserving. Like, he's shown the ability, he's shown the prowess. Like, there are very few 20-year-olds in central midfield that play with the type of poise that he can, that can pick out the type of passes that he can. Like, the only thing that's missing from his game right now as a player is his ability to shoot the ball, to score. Like, that's really the only thing that's missing from his game. He plays a very complete brand of
football. He's only 20 years old. That's scary.
And he's 20. That's what I mean.
That's like, the thing about it. Like, I've said this to Patrick all along. What makes him more impressive about all of his game is that, yes, he's got a technical ability, but the one thing that you cannot simply teach is the IQ, the vision for the game. And he's got that. I'm telling you, players like him are scary, because that is natural. That is what you just have in your game, to be able to read the game as it is. And on top of that, if you add the other technical aspects where you can improve his game, such as the finishing, I mean, it's incredible. I personally think his value's doubled already. I think it's doubled minimum.
Easily
in 2 months. Easily doubled, just like that.
I
don't know where his ceiling is, though. I don't, because I just feel like he can improve even further.
I mean, what does a ceiling look like? You know what I mean? Because for some people, a ceiling might be he's an England international. He's a consistent England international. Or is he, you know, can he be a top six contributor or play internationally? I think, yeah. I mean, I think he definitely could. I think he definitely could.
England level international. Like, I think both. That should be the aim. And, you know, there were talks even before he joined Palace about, you know, Champions League level. That's the talks. And I understand the hype. Every game I watch him, I understand the hype. Yep. More than the technical ability, the reason why I like him so much is the way that he can read the game. I think it's incredible. And not a lot of people talk about him in that regards of him getting sold this summer, which is positive as well, because it seems like we're going to keep him anyways. And then on top of that, you know, I think it'll be very good discussion point. But I just want to quickly go through to talk about Gehi, because Gehi's been rumoured away. So we'll quickly get our thoughts on that. There isn't much really in the game to talk about. Quickly, actually, before we talk about general topics, the penalty shout for Munoz, I thought it was a penalty.
I thought it was a penalty too, man.
Because he's about to kick the ball and the player just literally misses the ball. and misses the ball and kicks him.
Like, I don't... I feel like...
What you're saying is he dived. I don't understand how he dived. Like, he's about to kick the ball.
It's tough, man. I just wish there was a more clear-cut definition of it for these situations, man. Because the same thing that happened with Munoz happens with Eze a lot. And it's like, but then you see other players do the same exact thing and they'll get that penalty call. So it's like, by the rule book, by the lay of the law, what is the definition? Because I feel like it doesn't make sense to me that there's this just gray area of what is and what isn't. It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, if you got a guy taking a shot in the box and a defender plays for the ball, doesn't get it, but hits the man, that is a foul. It's a foul. Mm. Like, I just don't understand it. Because if it's anywhere else on the pitch and it happens, they're more than likely going to call it a foul. So why is it when it happens in the box, where out of all places, it matters more? Then it's not.
That's the thing that they changed the. Okay, let's be fair. Like, there are some fouls outside of the box, which if they were given for penalties, I think it might seem a bit too soft. But then again, I think I personally think that, you know, it was a clear foul. Like, I don't understand it. He literally got in front of him. But look, let's bring on the next guest. Let's see if Andy agrees with us or not. Andy, welcome to the show. Just quickly, we're talking about the penalty decision. Do you think it was a foul on Munoz?
I watched it back a couple of times. I personally think he has caught him. He's caught him late. I've looked at other games and they're not given. So
yeah, they're not given. Yeah, it's weird. They're not given. I think you have a fair point there. Like, they're not given. But then again, like, it does look like a foul. It's weird. I don't know. You never know with these refs and the rules. Like, they seem like everyone has their own.
It's just the lack of consistency that bothers me. Yeah. Because I feel like there are so many times when teams like the top six sides will get that call. I mean, I always go back to the Liverpool match where they gave the call against our goalkeeper. You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't anywhere near close. Like, even after you play it back, like, there was no contact. He went down on his own, but they give it. It's just a lack of consistency that bothers me.
Look, Andy, what do you make of the game? A draw against Fulham away from home with no Eze, four games unbeaten.
You know what? It was a proper good London derby. I really enjoyed that. I don't know about you. Like, the first half was good, and then we sort of let them back into it in the last 10 minutes. I've shit myself a little bit there.
Mm.
But the second half was proper back down, and they scored. Good goal, by the way. You've got to give credit to Fulham. They were solid. They literally, they've done their homework. Mateta was quiet. That is the worst game he's had since he's run a form.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Do you think he was down to fatigue? Was actually debating this earlier, whether it comes down to fatigue. Not only Mateta, I mean, Mitchell kind of struggled a bit. Elise struggled a bit. Do you think it's just the amount of games we've had to face?
Yeah, it could be. The system is daunting, isn't it? I mean, he's getting the players to run for 90 plus minutes, pressing, you know, fighting for every ball in midfield. It's, you know, it's hard.
Yeah, yeah. It's
especially
not, it's
with our quad, like you discussed already. It's not the biggest in the Prem, and it's not the best either. I mean, Schlutter's goal was fantastic, but that ain't going to happen every week.
Exactly. I mean, when does it really happen like that? But I just wanted to quickly ask about your, I think you got Ahamada look better under your name. You want to talk about Ahamada?
You know, he gets a lot of stick, but we've always said, well, you guys have always said that when he plays in the centre, he looked comfortable, and he did. When he's on the pitch and he's running forward through the middle, linking, and his pressing was good as well. He was doing the hard graft as well.
Mm. So I think we're going to see a lot more. Does he need more minutes? Does he need more minutes?
Yes. Now we're like safe, quote unquote. Mm. Like, give him more minutes. Play him with Eze, say. Mm. Let's have two of them running through the middle like that. Because he technically is doing what Eze does, just not as gracefully. He's one of them, pick it up and bomb through. A bit like Schlupp, but with more technical ability.
Mm. And I think he needs the confidence as well. Exactly. If he plays more minutes, he gets a bit more confidence. There's a bit of continuity there as well, where he can just build on that performance. But this season, I think not only him, there's been a few other players, for example, like France as well. He hasn't really had that many minutes and now he's out injured. It's been like a frustrating season for a few of these players that just never really got an opportunity. And I think Ahmed is one of those. And there's a reason. I feel like there's a reason why Glasner keeps, you know, giving him these you know, minutes off the bench. I think Glasner must see something in him.
Has to.
Well, he's got to. He does look like that type of player that can fit into the system that Glasner wants anyway. He's young, he's athletic, he can run, his technical ability is good as well. He can make a pass. I mean, granted, we haven't seen him in front of goal, but that's not his job.
Exactly. There's this debate which we're going to get into. Let's start with you. Let's get your thoughts on it. Do we let Edouard go and grab a striker? If so, who would you be interested in? Edouard, do you think he's good enough to be in this Palace squad as a backup option to Mateta, or do you think we need another forward this summer?
No, he's not. He's not. I mean, like I said, Mateta was off today. That was his off game. And then the second option is Edouard. And it's, I think someone said it last week, it's lackluster. It's, I'll wait for the ball here. You've got to give me the ball. I'm not going to get it for you. But when he does get the ball and he links it up, it's nice, but it's getting him the ball. Mm-hmm. Half the time he's running around in a circle.
So, yeah, I know what you mean. You're basically saying that we have to kind of feed him too much. Like, he's not really helping himself by bringing himself into the game. I think that's a fair shout. But the weird thing is, though, Andy, like, he didn't have an awful season. He hasn't had an awful season. He has scored a few goals as well. But ever since that injury that he had, he just gone under the radar. And I don't think Glasner rates him. Like, I think Glasner just brought him on today because Mateta, one, wasn't good enough, and two, probably fatigued from the amount of games that we've played. So it's weird. I don't think he suits Glasner's system. I think there is that.
Because
technically, Edouard can score a goal. If you give him the chances in front of goal, he will be able to score. But we need a bit more than that. You know, what Mateta is doing for us right now is what we need from a Palace striker. As you know, of course, great in front of goal. But more than that, he can drop deep, pick up the ball and get involved. But with Edouard, you just sense that he hasn't got that in his game. Like, he just needs it delivered to his feet in front of goal, which is not good enough for us. We just need someone who's...
Or the other option that I thought could work. I mean, it works at Celtic. I know it's a different kettle of fish out there. But play him out wide. Get him out on the left.
I don't think he's got it. I don't know what T thinks, but I just don't think... I just don't see him as that skillful player to play out wide. I just think he's just a bit too one-dimensional. I don't know. I just haven't really rated him as much.
And going back to his Celtic days, he didn't really play out wide a lot. I think he played out wide the most when he's in PSG system. But at Celtic, the thing that helped him the most, I believe, was playing in a two striker system where he could play off of another advanced striker. Because when he was at Celtic, he was playing with Lee Griffiths a lot up front and playing off of him. I think that helped him out a lot too. But I mean, I think right now the best thing for him, best thing for us, is to let him go. And the reason why I say best thing for him is because I think in a different league, Edwards scores a ton of goals. I mean, he's shown it before with the Scottish league, but I think if he goes League One, if he goes Serie A, I think he's a 15-goal guy.
He's a good shot for Leicester.
Yeah. I think that the reason why it's good for us is because he has value still. You know, so if we move him this summer, I think we can get between 12 and 15 million for him. So there's still value with him too that could help us with, you know, offsetting some FFP stuff too. So, you know, and I think, you know, there are some good strikers out there that we can bring into our system that can challenge Mateta and do well. So,
yeah. I guess we'll have to see what happens this summer, but I won't be surprised if he does move on. Because I don't think, based on the minutes that he's been getting under Glasner as well, I don't think Glasner really rates him as much as well. I don't think he beats his system. But look, Andy, make sure to call in again. It was a privilege.
Absolutely, man.
Thank you very much. I've been listening for years, and this is like the first time I've got on.
Yeah,
so.
appreciate it, Andy, man.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate
it. All right, then. Take care, Andy.
See you later. Thank you.
Take care. That was Andy having his say. We're going to wrap up soon, but if you want to call in, feel free to click on the pinned comment where you can join in and have your say on the game. The one will draw. I mean, we spoke about pretty much everything. We spoke about the penalty as well. We'll just go through some of the comments. Let's go promote
Saw that.
Next season. Burnley. It's a bit off topic, but Burnley, what's going on there? They have a chance of staying up.
Yeah, man. I mean, it makes you wonder. The thing about it is, I do think Vincent Kompany is a pretty decent manager. I think he's just the thing about it is he's young, so he, I think, in the managerial game, so he's kind of figuring things out as he goes. So I think he's starting to figure things out, figure his squad out. I mean, I think the hardest thing for them, or for him in particular, was the fact that they brought in so many new faces.
Inexperienced players as well.
Yeah, you don't know who you got, you don't know what you have, and you got to figure it out as it goes. You got to figure out who fits where. It's kind of similar to what Nottingham was going through too. You know, you just got so many guys coming in trying to figure things out. But yeah, man, they might end up staying up, man.
Yeah. Let's see what happens. But Twisted Bubba, I mean, we're about to end the show, but what a comment. What a twist, funny enough. If you think Mateta is our future, we are doomed. What do you think of that?
Well, let's be honest. I mean, Twisted has been extremely opinionated on our channel for some time now. And I think you're entitled to your opinion there. I think the good thing is that we shouldn't bank on the fact that Mateta is going to be amazing all the time. I think part of what we need to be doing is making sure that we're bringing in reinforcements at striker to compete with him. Because I don't think it's smart for us to just depend on him coming in and, you know, being consistent and having another season just like this. I mean, he's a good player and we know that, but, you know, this game is about competition. This game is about squad depth. So I don't think we should bank on him, you know, being lights out either, but I think the smart thing is to bring in another very, very capable striker to push him so that he can achieve at a higher level.
Yeah, and that goes that when you said that, I just thought about Mitchell as well. Even though he's been playing great,
we still need depth. You'll need them back. And push him
as well, and you know, also have the ability to rotate as well, which we haven't really this season. So the squad is there pretty much for Palace. And even if you sell Gaye, for example, one of these key players, I think we'll be able to replace him. That's not a problem. But it's about what we do with that money. I think it's a case of, when I look at this Palace squad, when everyone is fit, I don't think we need that many positions. I mean, Munoz is very good to start, especially starters. Like Munoz is fine. Mitchell is fine. Centre-backs, Gaye, Anderson, Richards, that's fine. If Gaye goes, we'll find a replacement for him. That's that's fine. Walton, Decore, midfield, that's okay. Eze, Elise, that's fine. And Mateta up front. I don't see any major weakness in this Palace side. I think the biggest weakness that I see is that, if one of these players leave, we have to replace them. But the biggest thing is we just have to improve the depth. The 11, I think, is pretty much there. It's just a depth. There's a
there's a massive drop off in the depth, especially with the consistency that we get as well. So let's see what happens. But look, people, that's it from me and T. If you have enjoyed it, make sure to leave a like and subscribe. Thanks to every single one of you that's called in and left in your comments as well. If you're watching a replay, let us know your thoughts in the comment section down below. That's it from us. And until next time, up the palace.
Up the palace.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.